else that will tell you if there's an improvement from the previous year, has there been an unchanged room, or has certain areas regressed? And those are the areas we'll be in during the presentation. The accountability wheel, we have discussed it in the prior year, so I'll just touch base on a very high level on the accountability wheel. As I indicated in the prior year, that the accountability wheel is there to assist in the improvement of the audit outcome, and it can be achieved if all the elements of your plan, do, check, and act has been implemented. Plan, this is where the entities need to spend sufficient time and consult widely on this to different various stakeholders to clearly define what the targets that should be as per the mandates and what needs to be achieved by the audit team. The service delivery issues, the financial aspects that need to be put in place of delivering those targets. And you use, and they should even use a various different tools that it can be used, the audit action plan, strategic and annual performance plan, budget and project plans. These targets should be specific. It should be measurable, it should be achievable, it should be relevant, and they should be time-bound. So those are very clear in that regard there. Due, this is where you need, there should be good internal controls in place to ensure that the entities deliver on their priorities in an effective, efficient, and economical manner. They should produce high-quality financial statements and performance reports and comply with the applicable legislation, especially in the area of procurement and contract management. It is the responsibility of the accounting officers and accounting authorities, senior manager, and government officials to implement and maintain effective and efficient systems of internal controls. And it is crucial that the key positions are filled, that you make sure that you fill them with key positions with people that with the required competencies, they have the knowledge to do what they need to be doing, and that there's stability in those positions. Keep on moving people in active positions, impact, ensuring your controls are being implemented and monitoring thereof on the controls as well. Then we move over to the check. The check is a key element of internal control, is monitoring by the different assurance providers to ensure that internal controls are being adhered to, that your risks are managed, that your outcomes are being achieved. It is important that all assurance providers understand their different roles, are equipped to perform their functions, and are given the authority their role requires. And then the last one is on the act. The act means accountability, means that those performing actions or making decisions are answerable for them, but also that there should be consequences for transgressions. Where there's a lack of action for poor performance, there should be consequences there as well. When it has been identified that information on the files are missing, whoever is up there or certain things are not being done is required to be done on there, they should be taken action in that regard. If all these basic controls are implemented with regards to the social grant payments, from initiation to payment, right up to reporting, there are adequate monitoring and supervision at all levels, and where staff are not doing the work, so the consequent measures are taking place, then this will have an impact on the audit outcome for better audit results, and to ensure that correct beneficiaries are being paid at the right amount at the time, and which will have a significant impact on the lives of those that, beneficiaries that are dependent on these grants. Slide 9 gives us the social development portfolio that is made up of the National Department of Social Development and the two entities that report under it, being SASA and the National Development Agency. We also have the relief funds, and that's made up the 4 relief funds that is up there. The relief fund is not part of the presentation, it's mostly dormant, and this just for the disaster relief fund is regarded as a small audit. The relief funds also is in terms of the Fundraising Act, and it's in the process of being closed down and consolidated into one relief fund. And there's no performance information that we report on the reserve because they're not subject to the PFMA. Slide 10 is our overall message, and from the overall message you can take note that the overall outcome for the portfolio has improved from the prior year, from the 2018-19, in that the Department of Social Development has improved from a qualified opinion which they received on the grants to an unqualified opinion with no findings in the current year. That means they have improved from such a qualified opinion to an unqualified with no findings, thus receiving a clean audit outcome. The National Development Agency and SASA remain changed as from the prior year, in that they still received an unqualified opinion. We're happy with their financial statements, but they either had findings on compliance with legislation or they could have had findings on performance information. The audit outcome for the four relief funds has remained unchanged from the previous financial year in that they received an unqualified opinion without findings, which is also regarded as a clean audit. Slide 11 gives us indication of the movement for the last 5 years of the audit outcomes, and you can see there has been an improvement in that we got DSD improving from last year, the purple there, from green to a green, giving them the clean audit outcome, but SASA and NDA remain the same. So I think there has been a steady improvement in that regard with regards to the portfolio audit outcomes. Credible financial reporting, slide 12. Chair and honorable members, just to indicate, when you see a 67 and 100% is we discuss it, three out of three, that means your three entities, the Department Social Development, the Department of Social Development, SASA and NDA would make up three out of three, 100%. If we are 67%, it would only be two out of the three entities where we had issues. So that's just to give an indication. For the credible financial reporting, you can see we improved from 67 to 100%. The improvement is specifically that in the 18-19 financial year, the NDA did not submit its financial statements within the legislated deadline. Therefore, only SASA and the department submitted in time. Therefore, 67% of them submitted within the legislated deadline. This has been improved in the current financial year, and all three entities have submitted within the legislated deadline and therefore receiving 100%. Same with the quality of the financial statements. In the prior year, the 67% related specifically to the qualification on the Department of Social Development. Because they had a qualification, the quality of the financial statements was not as good, was not credible and reliable. Therefore, only 67% in the prior year being SASA and NTA. For the current financial year, as all three entities received an unqualified audit opinion, we therefore then moved to 100% in that the financial reporting was credible and reliable, the financial statements, and all receiving an unqualified opinion. With regards to the performance reporting on a similar basis, in the prior year, we had issues on NDA. Therefore, the SASA and the department, the NDA issues that we cannot rely, they received findings on in the audit report on the program that we selected for the NDA, and therefore for this year, you can see for the initial submission, that is when they submitted the annual performance report for us for auditing, we only SASA, we had no issues with it. For NDA, we still continue to have issues, and it has still been reported in the audit report, those issues that we have had for performance reporting. But for the DSD, we picked up an issue on one of their targets, which they then subsequently made that adjustment. Therefore, you can see from your quality of initial submission to once we have audited and after the adjustment, they moved to a 67%, and that 67% is for SASA and DSD, and therefore no findings were reported for SASA and DSD in the current audit. The DSD, as I indicated, is related to a finding on the number of PSS capacity building workshops, in that when the information that they provided, they indicated nine provinces were training was provided, but when we looked at the sub, that thing should have been moved to 12. They then subsequently conducted adjusted it to 12, and therefore we were happy with it. For NDA, similar to the prior year, we were still unable to obtain sufficient audit evidence for the reported achievements of four of the seven material indicators that we looked at in program two, your CSO, civil society organization development. And due to these limitations, we weren't unable to determine for at least four of those indicators, the numbers that are being reported, whether they are accurate and complete. Compliance with legislation. This is where we have identified findings in the compliance issues. And for SASA, this is why they receive findings in the audit report and not receiving a clean audit opinion. For NDA, it was on the previous slide on the performance information as well as compliance issues that we have identified in that entity. And For both these entities, the level of compliance that we've identified was in that the accounting authority in both entities did not take enough steps to prevent irregular and fruitless expenditure from reoccurring. It is the same non-compliance with the supply chain management continue to reoccur in the current financial year. We further then picked up issues on supply chain management within the SASA environment. The supply chain management in the SASA environment, we picked up issues on the procurement of emergency goods for the COVID-19 before financial year end, in that the prices that they paid were higher than the prices as negotiated by the National Treasury Instruction Note, and that even the specifications, we cannot determine if the specifications was in terms of the instruction note, and the suppliers, we could not determine whether they paid was in accordance with the instruction note. Furthermore, we picked up that goods and services with a transaction value of about 500,000 were procured without inviting competitive bids, and deviations were approved by the accounting authority, but it was impractical to invite competitive bids. A number of these relates to the medical assessments done for the disability grants, in that they should have went out on the tender process for these doctors and did not follow the tender process, and the amount paid to some of the doctors was well above the 500,000 rand. We further picked up that there were contracts, some of the contracts were extended or modified without the approval of a delegated official. And this is specifically where the leases, contracts of leases came to an end and they continue with it, rather going out into a new procurement process in getting the leases renewed or new premises or going through that process. Chair, we also picked up the issue on the food parcels distribution. I know the amount impacts on the department's financial statements, but because SASA administers the SRD grant and the grant on behalf of the department, we looked at the food parcels distributions that were, and the appointment of suppliers therein, and we picked up issues with the procurement there of all those suppliers and the subsequent extension, and therefore reported the non-compliance with regards to where they should have went on the competitive bid or quotation process with some of those suppliers. Further on in SASA, we also picked up on consequence management, that there were some instances where we could not find any evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against officials who incurred irregular or fruitless and wasteful irregular expenditure. With regards to NDA, as I previously indicated, we had an issue with the accounting authority not taking appropriate steps to prevent irregular expenditure, and these are similar issues that were identified in the prior year, so therefore we report that in the audit report. We also had issues on procurement and contract management, similar to SASA on the leases, that some of the goods and services above 500,000 were procured without inviting competitive bids. We also had, similar to SASA, on consequence management, that we could not get evidence, sufficient evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against officials who incurred both irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And this is the same as last year within the NDA. And then on your strategic and performance management for NDA, quarterly reports were not submitted to the executive authority as required by Treasury Regulation 30.2.1. Chair, we then move over to the internal controls. The slide 15 and 16 shows the drivers of the internal control on the three areas of leadership. We look at leadership and the different areas within the leadership, financial and performance management, and governance, and the weaknesses therein, resulting in findings that, and this is based on the findings that we have identified. There has been some sort of improvement in the controls in the portfolio from prior, but still there's a number of control weaknesses that needs to be addressed. The main reason for some of this improvement is due to the qualification issue that's no longer from the prior year. Under the leadership, our key focus areas on leadership, we look at effective leadership culture, which is your tone at the top, your ethical leadership, oversight responsibilities that we look at HR management, the vacancies, key acting positions, we look at whether policies and procedures are in place and how have those been implemented. We look at the audit action plans, have they got an audit action plan and is it being implemented? So then we look at the IT governance. For the current financial year, we picked up issues that still on the effect of leadership on the SASA and NDA, and that was specifically over the oversight responsibility. with where the accounting officer, accounting authority did not take enough and appropriate steps to prevent the irregular expenditure and did not ensure that proper consequence management still taking place for those that incur the irregular expenditure. So that was a bigger concern within the oversight responsibility within the effective leadership. For the financial and performance management, the key areas that we focus there on, proper record keeping, do they have a document available at time for audit? Is the document reliable? Do they have the process and reconciliation controls being done on a regular basis? Is there regular reporting being done? And can we rely on the information that's being supplied to us? We also look at the compliance monitoring and well as your IT systems and controls that are in place. For the current financial year, we did pick up issues on the on DSD and SASA on record keeping, which is of concern. And that relates to, because there was adjustments made to their financial statements or the inaccurate information initially submitted to us, which did not reconcile with information that was submitted on the financial statements. For example, inaccurate contingency schedule was submitted, inaccurate asset register was submitted to us. So we had sort of those issues. For NDA, the NDA was specifically around the performance information in that did not have a proper record management system to maintain the information that is used to support the reported performance information in the annual performance report. This included information that related to the how they collect the information, how they put the information together, how they verify the information, and how they report that information on the system. So therefore, receiving that finding in the audit report specifically around the performance information. We also, so that's the main reason. Then the other main issue was on the compliance issue that we picked up. This specifically relates to the non-compliance of legislation identified in the expenditure management and the procurement contract management that could have been prevented had the compliance been properly reviewed and monitored. That's within the SASA and NDA environment, which that shows that they never received a clean audit. So compliance issues, your compliance with supply chain management and expenditure management needs to be looked at in more detail and should then be monitored and closely ensure audit action plans are in there to pick up on this weakness on internal controls. Under risk management, we looked at the risk management framework that you have, the fraud framework and how they're implementing those frameworks. We look at internal audit. Is the internal audit adequately staff, are they doing the work as per the plan and is their reports reliable, credible? And we also look at the audit committee, are they doing in terms of their mandate, are they fulfilling their duties? So this is what we look at in regards to the governance aspect of the internal controls. With regards to the risk management, we picked up issues on the risk management within the SASA and the NDA environment. In the SASA, we do take note that there is a risk management strategy in place, but they still need to finalize the fraud prevention issues. There's no detailed fraud prevention place in there. For NDA, although we take that the risk management activities are adequate and the risk measures have been developed, inadequate risk identification and mitigations been implemented on the procurement and contract management. Focus must be given that the key elements of the supply chain management policies needs to be taken into account and this needs to be monitored on a regular basis. Yeah, that's the high level on the internal controls. And I just, this is what I concentrate. This is more supposedly on the RAID, just to give more detail on the RAID aspects of the internal controls. On the assurance providers, this is where we look at the findings that we identified and the weaknesses in the internal control and try to and determine which of these assurance providers needs to improve in terms of their roles in order to improve on the internal controls. One of the most important functions of Parliament is to consider the auditor's annual reports. To perform this oversight function, the portfolio committee needs assurance that the information in the annual performance report is credible. To this end, the annual reports include our auditor's report and provide assurance on the credibility of the financial statements and the annual performance report, as well as the auditor's compliance with legislation. Our reporting and the oversight process reflects on past events that occurred and it takes place after the end of the financial year. However, the management and the leadership of those charged with governance contribute throughout the years to the credibility of the financial and performance reporting. We assess the level of assurance provided by these assurance providers based on our status of the internal controls, as I discussed above, and impact on the different role players on these controls. We provide our assessments for the cycle below. For the senior management, for the department and SASA, we specifically included that they provide some assurance in that management did not provide the adequate oversight responsibility with regards to compliance with the legislation and related internal controls and consequence management on the procurement and contract management, and the irregular expenditure could have been prevented had they taken adequate steps in that regard. For NDA, we provide limited assurance. This is specifically relating to the finding on the AOPO and the supply chain management in that the management did not prepare regular, accurate, and complete performance report that are supported by reliable and credible information that supports the amounts being disclosed in the annual performance report. For the accounting authority, for SASA and NDA, we had that they provided some assurance in that it specifically relates also to the accounting authority not doing enough regards to the irregular expenditure prevention. The executive authority, we provide assurance in that when we evaluated, the minister had made the progress in implementing the commitments made to the AGSA in addressing the issues reported in the prior year, as well as that on the qualification. Internal audit, we had issues on the SASA in that SASA is the internal audit is not fully capacitated, and that they never do the quality assurance review that needs to be done by SASA within every 5 years. Audit committee, we had issues around the audit committee in that for the NDA, in that although we take note that the audit committee did sit and do its work, we're still concerned that that there should be more oversight exercise by the audit committee, as management was very slow in addressing the recommendations of the previous years from internal auditors and external auditors. Thus, the audit committee must address this must be addressed by the audit committee to the point where engaging with accounting officers and accountant on the slow movement on this, especially on the consequence management, to ensure that proper consequence management is taking place on a regular basis. Chair, if I then move over to the financial health, this is where we look at the financial health of all three of the entities, where we can see if there's any going concerns. For the department, for the SASA and NDA, there was no material issues or any financial health indicators which we were concerned about. We're happy that the financial health is in a good position and there's no problem going foreseen in the foreseeable future. For the department, however, the department accounting framework is different from SASA and NDA in that SASA and NDA is on GRAP, is an accrual basis of accounting, where the department is on a cash basis, modified cash basis, is then as soon as money is went out of the bank, you record it in your financial statements. It's different on accrual basis of accounting, in that accrual basis of accounting, even if the cash did not go out, as long as the transaction occurred in this current financial year, you accrue for it in your financial statements. And when we look at the financial health, we take the department's financial health and take it from a modified cash basis to an accrual accounting. And once we do that, we come up with issues around where the liabilities of the department then exceed its assets, and that gives you concern around going concern. And one of the biggest factors also experienced on this is a negative cash balance, and this relates to the overpayment on the grants that was made at the end of the financial year, which was also discussed by the previous presenters on the early the April grants that were paid at the end of the March financial year. And that's the reason for the big negative cash flows that was experienced in the audit. That leads me to the next slide on unauthorized expenditure. Because of that, where once the president announced the COVID-19 pandemic, there was decision was made that for those that have been affected, that the April grant payments will be paid in March, and they would then be allowed to take out the April grant payments on the 30th and 31st of March. And therefore, this would result in an overpayment made in this current financial year, as that amount would have been paid in the next financial year. And because of that overpayment in results to an unauthorized expenditure of 15 billion that was incurred in this current financial year. So that's the reason for the unauthorized expenditure. It was confirmed with National Treasury that it will be unauthorized expenditure in the next financial year, then the 15 billion will still remain within the department. If we then move over to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, Honourable Chair and members, the information of all this, the unauthorized, fruitless and wasteful, is on the financial statements in the various notes. We have asked that we issue the extract of the financial statements that was to be submitted to the members, where it gives details of the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. For the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it was a huge decrease of 79 million to 6 million for the current financial year. Just to take note that this is just what was incurred in the current financial year. Of the 6 million, 5 million represents non-compliance in the 1920 that we identified, and 1 million relates to the prior year, but we identified it in the current financial year. The nature of that is mostly around interest and penalties. As you can see from that 6 million, 144,000 in interest by NDA, SASA 1,000 rand, late cancellation for travel, we did not go for travel, or there was accommodation for training or that was scheduled but did not happen, 197,000 by SASA and 37,000 by NDA. Damages to vehicle, which is quite a large portion of 903,000 by the department. And procurement-related compliance in SASA of 5 million. This specifically related to one of the findings that we have identified, that was identified, where they appointed the second supplier, the second highest scoring supplier, instead of the highest scoring supplier. And the difference between the price between the second highest scoring and the first supplier was an amount of 5 million. And therefore, that 5 million relates to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as they could have saved that amount had they appointed the first supplier. So those are the main reasons. The total fruitless and wasteful expenditure on the notes to the financial statement, it still needs to be either written off, condoned, or recovered. For the department, the balance on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is at about 1.4 million, whereas the SASA is still sitting at 86 million, so the 77 from last year is still there, which still needs to be properly investigated, either be collected or necessary action be taken in that particular regard. And then for the department, the amount for the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is sitting at 1.2 million, so still about close to 80 million still sitting at the balance of fruitless and wasteful expenditure on the financial statements. For the irregular expenditure, I think the critical aspects of the irregular expenditure is also for the current financial year. You can see there's been a decrease of from 224 million to 147 million, that was incurred for the financial year in the portfolio. 146 of the 147 relates to what we identified in the 1920 financial statements, and the 1 million, although we identified in the current year, it relates to expenditure in the prior year. The stuff there for the irregular, all irregular expenditure, as you said, indicates 99% indicates the majority of the irregular expenditure was incurred by SASA and was caused by payments made to unapproved contract extensions and variations of close to 47 million, 147 about. Of variations of 147, about the of one of them relates to, of that 147 on the contract, 104 relates to SASA. The NDA incurred irregular expenditure by not following supply chain management process to an amount of about 39 million, and DAC incurred irregular expenditure to the value of around 4 million. None of the irregular expenditure has been subjected to investigation by NDA, similar to the prior, and they need to start making sure that they do proper investigations in that regard. Also to note that significant delays in finalized investigation by SASA are impacting on proper consequence management and sorting out this and ensuring condonement, and that you can finalize the huge balance of irregular expenditure that still sits within SASA's books. The total balance of the irregular expenditure for the portfolio, the balance that's remaining is coming from prior plus the 147 million, is sitting at about 1.36 billion as a balance, of which 1.2 billion is SASSA and about 12 million for DSE and 146 million for the NDA. The details of how these are broken up is included in the various notes on the financial statements of this department and can be looked at in terms of how much has been condoned, what has been transferred to receivables, especially on the fruitless and wasteful, and what amount has been not considered to be irregular expenditure. So that can be looked at in more detail on the financial statements, especially with regards to SASSA. Note 31 will give you more indication with regards to the irregular expenditure on SASSA. Slide 3 just gives us a level of the supply chain management findings, and I have discussed it. Most of it was uncompetitive, unfair process on the procurement process. It's reported in the audit report, inadequate contract management, specifically around the releases, and the COVID-19 issue that we identified as SASSA, where the prices seemed we could not verify the prices were within the National Treasury range, and the specifications were not clear enough to see if the prices were correct as per the range of National Treasury. Slide 24 gives us the overall snapshot, which just we can see the clean audit, the unqualified financial statements that were discussed at all three entities, which is an improvement from the prior year. No changes in the performance report in that NDA still has significant issues on their performance report in terms of the verifying the numbers that have been reported on certain of the indicators. Compliance with legislation, there has been improvement from the prior year in the DSE area that they have improved there. And then irregular expenditure with the amount spent for the current financial year. The major root causes for these findings is slow responses, where both the SASSA and NDA, that there is action plans in place, but the urgency to address this is not at a high level, and therefore we are still picking up a number of issues within regards to issues or findings that we identified in the prior year still reoccurring. There's still a lack of inadequate contract management for those not doing what it, and this needs to be done on a regular and make sure that disciplinary actions are being taken. That there are action plans, but there's not enough monitoring to ensure that the action plans are appropriately addressed, and that because we have been stability in key positions or acting positions keep on changing, and this could impact also on ensuring good audit outcomes. These are the key root causes. Recommendation to departments and entities that the leadership continue implementing and monitoring the necessary oversight and preventative controls, that they fill the vacancies, that there should be appropriate consequence management taking place, and that your audit action plan must be implemented, monitored, and monitored on a continuous basis to ensure that all the controls have been adhered to and have been implemented, and that you've addressed all the root causes to the findings that we have identified, as well as internal audit findings. Recommendations to the portfolio committee. We know the portfolio committee was reviewing the progress of the audit action plans in the prior year. They continue to review the progress of these action plans, and that there should be a specific focus by the department and its entities on these root causes, as well as these internal control weaknesses and how they're addressing it. So during its core team interactions, they should then concentrate on those issues to give the necessary assurance to the portfolio committee that those issues are being addressed and have been addressed timely. Chair, I'll then hand over to my colleague Mbali to take us through the balance of the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Faisal. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Good morning. I will be taking you through the expansion of our mandate in terms of the Public Audit Act and some of the other initiatives that we are implementing at our auditors, and lastly, the preventative controls. Chair, the Public Audit Act was amended, and these amendments took effect from the 1st of April 2019. What this means is that as we are doing our audits, we'll further examine the non-compliance that we identify to determine whether there was a financial loss incurred by the entity as a result of that non-compliance. And if there was a financial loss incurred, that could then result in a material irregularity. So what will happen then if we have identified the material irregularity, we communicate it to the accounting officer and all the accounting authorities to take action on that material irregularity. And if the action is not taken, these are some of the consequences then that will follow. We can refer a material irregularity to a relevant public body for further investigation. We can take binding remedial action for failure to implement our recommendations by that accounting officer or the accounting authority. And if those remedial actions are also not implemented, we can issue a certificate of state for failure to implement the remedial action. And this will apply in cases where there was a financial loss involved. On the next slide, Chair, we expand then on the definition of a material irregularity. Next slide. Thank you. So what is this material irregularity? So we define it then in the regulations as any non-compliance or contravention of legislation, fraud, theft, or a breach of fiduciary duty that we identify when we do our audit in terms of the Public Audit Act, and that irregularity is resulted in or is likely to result in a material financial loss, the misuse or loss of a material public resource, substantial harm to a public sector institution, or the general public. So once we've identified then an irregularity that meets this definition, it is then communicated to the accounting officer to address the matter further. So like I indicated in the previous slide, if the accounting officer, after giving an opportunity to act on a material irregularity, does not do so, then we take the further actions that I have just touched on, the three issues that are indicated previously. That's when then we implement those if the accounting office authority fails to deal with the material irregularity. Thanks. Next slide. So Chair, that's basically what this material irregularity concept involves. And we are phasing in this amended legislation. We have not yet implemented it on this portfolio, but going forward, we may start then implementing this amended act into the social development portfolio. Thank you. Then, if you can move to the next slide, Faisal. Thank you. So, sorry about that, Chair. So this slide then deals with the additional efforts that we've introduced as the AGSA to try and assist the accounting officers and authorities in terms of implementing our recommendations. So we do have regular engagements with the accounting officers throughout the financial year to try and assist them in implementing the recommendations. So we do not leave them with the findings and only come back at the end of the cycle to do an audit again, but we regularly engage with them to assist them in implementing our recommendations. Chairperson, one of the other key tools that we've put in place is the status of records review. So this is like an early warning system that is used also to guide, again, the accounting officer or the accounting authority in terms of addressing the key risk areas that need to be addressed before they submit the financial statements and the annual performance report for audit. It also assists them in addressing issues like consequence management, because we'll highlight to them issues that you have identified in the prior year that remains unresolved and advise them to deal with those matters before the end of the financial year. Chairperson, you also have roadshows and media briefings that are also part of sharing the outcomes with those charged with governance. We also have frequent oversight engagements with the portfolio committees and other key structures that will also assist in bringing about governance in the public sector. Some of those include the COLTA, the treasuries, and other institutions that are valuable in this value chain of bringing about oversight and accountability. Chair, I will move on to the next slide that deals with preventative controls. Although we've been talking about controls throughout the years, but there was more focus this year wherein the Auditor General decided then to bring about some preventative control guides. Chairperson, we are in the process of communicating those guides to yourselves as well, because they are important for oversight purposes. Chair, before I start with this slide, I just wanted to quote from the foreword that was written by our late Auditor General, Mr. Gimi Magwetu, when he was presenting this preventative control guide. He said, and I quote, "Strong preventative controls create tension, especially when consequences are part of the deal. It is these positive and progressive tensions that must be embraced as they make preventative controls work for the entire value chain. We developed this guide to further assist and empower accounting officers and accounting authorities to invest in preventative controls to stem the tide of misappropriation of funds and to re-establish accountability as the cornerstone of our democracy," unquote. Chairperson, this preventative guide deal with the key business processes of the institutions. These business processes include your supply chain management processes, contract management, payments, employee processes and payroll, asset liability and liability management, as well as revenue management. So all we are saying is that you should have strong controls around all these key areas to ensure that you build a strong control environment. And once you have that strong control environment, all the role players are able to provide the necessary assurance. But failure to do so will result then in those consequences that you are reflecting at the bottom of the slide. And part of those consequences can include material irregularities, because it means that you have failed to prevent non-compliance and you have failed then to prevent financial losses. And we are saying that these consequences are also costly to the organizations, because doing investigations requires money, and that money could have been spent on something else, but it must be spent investigating those consequences of a failure to implement the preventative controls. It can also result in disciplinary processes, which, yes, are necessary to make sure that there is consequence management. But it can also result in litigation against the entity, and which can also result in a loss of funds for that particular entity. In the next slide, Chairperson, we highlight why these guides are also important to this committee. So we are saying that this committee should also be aware of the good preventative controls that must be implemented by entities in order to ensure that they prevent weaknesses in their systems. So once the committee is aware of the preventative controls, they can be able then to ask direct questions to the accounting officer or the accounting authority to make sure that they do indeed have those preventative controls within their entities. And if they are not in place, the accounting officer must then account to say, how are they dealing with those weaknesses? And the committee can follow up on a regular basis to ensure that the weaknesses are being addressed. So, Chairperson, like I said, these preventative controls are also there to assist the accounting officers, including up to the level of the executive authority, to also ensure that they are able to provide the necessary assurance. Next slide. Thank you. So in this slide, Chairperson, we're just basically displaying what these guides entail. It's six guides. The first one talks about the importance of preventative controls. Why in the first place must all the entities have these preventative controls? The second guide talks to the tone and control culture. Because if the tone at the top is not set at the right place, then it means that all the people in the organization will then not adhere to the right controls, they will not adhere to legislation, because there is no set tone at the top. Guide 3 talks about institutionalizing internal controls, which is also very important to make sure that everyone understands what controls are there, how are they being implemented, as well as monitoring of those internal controls. Guide 4 talks to procurement of goods and services. Chairperson, in the presentation, you've indicated that there still prevails non-compliance with procurement of goods and services. So it's important then that the internal controls, the good controls that are provided in the guide are adhered to. Then guide 5 talks about preparation of financial statements, which also ensures then that there's credible reporting by the entities and the department. Then guide number 6 talks to asset management to ensure that the assets that are being disclosed in the financial statements are accurate and complete, ensuring that there's regular asset verifications as well as reconciliation. Chairperson, I think I'll stop there with this section, and I think we are done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mbali. You've earned your salary today. Fraser.
Yes, Chair.
So you guys are done, am I right?
Yes, Chair, we're done.
Thank you very much. I must say up front to all of you guys, our meeting on Monday was not a fruitless expenditure. It was not a wasteful expenditure. I can see simplification of things. We call for their simplification here. A lot of narratives next to everything. How you have articulated the root causes. Now, members of the portfolio committee can zoom in there when the department comes and simply go to that section on root causes. They know exactly what to ask for. Even when you go on supply chain, they know what to ask for. Even when you go to irregular expenditure, they know what to ask for. Improvement, but slow improvement, but there is an improvement. Even when they go to fruitless expenditure, it's a narrative that what is the root cause of every problem. And even when they go to, just a second, when they go to, where am I? I was on the irregular expenditure. Yes. Unauthorized expenditure, there's narrative there. All the elements under financial health. And when you go to assurance provision, anyway, the narrative between assurance provision and status of internal control is almost similar. Disregards for compliance, there's narrative there. All I'm saying further, this is a simplified work for the committee to know exactly what questions to ask from the department. I want to say, when you talk about controls on the preventative guidelines, it will also be important that we sit with the committee at some time and break down each and every one of those things. It helps the committee to ask relevant questions, and it helps you to see your work, see yourself making a difference. And I can say upfront, honorable members, your work has not been in vain as a portfolio committee. Because you remember last year, you immediately as a committee took an initiative to make sure that there's action plan on OAG's findings. Here is a department is moving in the positive direction. And it's a long way to go, but the direction seems to be an impressive one. But however, I'm waiting for the members to engage. Honorable Dikang, Honorable Dikang, Honorable Van der Merwe, Honorable Abrams, and Honorable Vanna, that ends our list. Thank you very much. Proceed, Honorable Dehang, Honorable Fanameva, Honorable Abrams, Honorable Varna. Honorable Dehang?
Madam Chair, just a second. Oh, okay. All right. Now, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and also thank you to the presentation on the AGSA audit outcomes. I've got just two issues that I want to converse quickly. The first one being that I would like to find out what measures can be put in place to prevent and assist the NDA on the challenge of annually not being able to produce credible performance reports. And then secondly, I would also like to find out how can we ensure that the NDA and SASSA improve on their ability to materially comply with legislation. Thank you.
That's very good on time. Liz van der Merwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, thank you very much to the AG. I think they continue to do very good work. And also I'm mindful that today's presentation comes at a time when we've just lost the former Auditor General, and we convey our condolences to the entire AG family. Chairperson, you are right. There's a lot of positive improvements. However, I must say, Chairperson, that it is concerning that time and time again and year after year, we do get the assurances from SASSA and NDA that they will improve in terms of their shortcomings identified by the AG. But then each year we come back and they are flagged for the same things, shortcomings on consequence management, prevention of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and the supply chain management issues. So I think we really need to, I think for me it calls into question how effective is the Department of Social Development's entity monitoring system, because you will recall that in our last meeting with them, they've been assuring us that they have stepped up monitoring of their entities, but I think we will ask the minister about this when she comes. What is also concerning for me is the remark by the Auditor General's office that Treasury notes were ignored in terms of the procurement of PPE. And that too is concerning, because I also remember that they informed us that they were complying with Treasury notes in this regard, so thereby they were paying the right amounts. Now to hear that they've paid much more is also concerning. I think the issue of travel, the late cancellation of travel, you know, it's quite baffling that our officials are wasting money when surely they could just cancel travel timeously, not to incur these losses. And I would like to know from the Auditor General whether they know, whether in these specific departments or entities, whether there are repeat offenders that can possibly be held responsible for these financial losses. On the issue of prolonged vacancies, that too for me is very concerning, because I don't understand in a country which has got such high unemployment rates, why the department continues to fail and SASSA to continue to fail to fill these vacancies. What are the reasons being furnished to the AG's office? I also want to ask the AG's office, you found in August that more than 30,000 people were paid the 350 Rand grant who were not eligible for this grant. I would be interested to know what were the shortcomings that you picked up in this regard, because we were also subsequently informed that some people who had already passed were collecting these grants. You also spoke about food parcels. You said there were issues of procurement. I also want clarity in this regard. Was the issues with regards to quality, or was it with regards to monitoring and evaluation? In other words, double dipping, or was it simply that the companies were not providing you know, quality for the amount that they were charging the department? And finally, my final question is on the issue of consequence management. The AG says, well, you know, we do have the ability to bite, we do have teeth, so we can refer material irregularities to investigative bodies. They spoke about the fact that they can take the issue of non-compliance with laws any further. So I wanted to know whether, for example, if they do find that the NDA does not improve in terms of compliance with laws, that they would actually be willing to take these matters further. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Because I didn't speak about time, but you raised very important points. Honorable members, can we make sure that we don't repeat questions that have been asked? Thank you very much. Honorable Abrams?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the AG for the presentation. I won't repeat any of the questions asked before, but just to zone in again on the vacancy question, and I just want to ask the AG, in their professional opinion, the vacancy of the Director General for the department has been vacant for a very long time, years in fact, and I just want to find out from the AG the opinion in how this actually affects the department as a whole, and in this presentation when it comes to consequence management and the assurance and the status of the internal control, because the presentation seems to have DSC, you know, improving, yet they still have this massive vacancy that needs to be filled. And then just the last question, Faisal mentioned that one of the he highlighted that for SASA, the medical assessment doctors for the disability grant, that was red flagged because it wasn't in line with correct tender process. But my understanding was, did the department not deviate on purpose because there was a shortfall of doctors? And then how come is it red flagged by the AG when there was a deviation because they needed to employ more doctors for the purpose of assessing disability grant beneficiaries? Thanks, Jay.
Honorable Mvana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be brief. I'm checking the regression on supply chain management compliance, which remains a very serious implication. Just want to know, what is it that the AG recommends to deal with this challenge? Thanks, Chair.
Chair,
please let me add. I have switched to a different device.
Oh, no, but you are, is that Aris?
Yes, Chair.
No, you are the next speaker. You don't have to worry.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Speak now.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, mine is just on, in terms of SASA and the NDA, the failure to manage the procurement. Some speakers have mentioned that. Because irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure is the failure for consequence management and strategic planning and management is actually a red light for the department. And they really need to come up with a turnaround strategy to put in place to improve the signings. And then in terms of SASA and the NDA, the lack of in leadership is key to the outcomes and the performance of this entity. Record keeping, control measures, risk management, review and monitor compliance need intervention. I think that's the reason why so much fraud and corruption happen in this entities, and measures need to put in place to bring drastic changes in these entities. And then, Chair, what I would also like to find out, I have noted there, note 21, that DSD, there's damage of vehicles which amount to 903,000. I just want to check whether when you say damage of vehicles, what is it? Is it vehicles that is in accidents, or what is it that costs so much money for the entity? Then in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditures, that was in the NDA that is not investigated is also really worrisome to us. And then also, then note 22, the irregular expenditure, because the irregular expenditure refer to fraud and theft. And within SASA and the NDA, within SASA 40 million, NDA 36, this is where corruption took place. And there's no consequence management being instituted. So then in 2020, the NDA and SASA didn't do any investigation. So it is really just, you know, concerning to us, Chairperson. Then also I have noted on note 11, the material non-compliance with legislation in terms of the MDO. Is what it says. Yes, Jay?
That is unlike you, but you can proceed.
No, it's fine. It's just the last one, Chair. I'll be very quick.
Okay.
the material non-compliance with legislative stuff, and the NDA is worrisome because from 2015 till 2019, the movement remains unchanged. And in terms of non-compliance with legislation and performance, so I also noted that there's a regress of SASA from 67% to 33%. Thank you.
Thank you. You see, honorable members, even before AG responds, I just want us to get this point clear. AG exposes risks that the department is facing and also expose the root causes of that. Now, what the purpose of that is for us to put a program of making the department accountable. I think I've listened to members today. The nature of the report AG has made them to ask a lot of relevant questions, which mainly, in my view, our content advisor, researcher, needs to compile a report based on this narrative, which will make the department to account so that on a regular basis, once we have lifted the content of those issues where we want the department to account, we are able to know on time when they are not going to actually implement particular things. But I think in terms of reporting and so on and how the AG is organizing information to simplify for committee to do oversight, I think honorable members who have moved will be able to deal with the culprits and so on. Especially the issues that were raised by Honorable Fandamava on a number of those issues of NDA, seemingly obstinate non-improvement, travel, prolonged vacancies, shortcomings on 350 rand, consequence management, the long, honorable members have raised a lot of issues, but I want to argue that a lot of them are giving us a platform to actually, on regular basis, make the department account. AG, do you want to respond to questions? Others are comments?
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with Chairperson that there's a number of questions that I think would be better if the members ask it to the various entities. I'm thinking specifically about, you know, the damages to vehicles, and more details about the fruitless and wasteful expenditure if there's repeat offenders. That is all information that we don't currently have directly with us, but the entity certainly do have it with them, and I would recommend that the members ask those questions during the engagements with the entities. I want to address a few key items, and then maybe if one of two of my colleagues want to add something, they are welcome to add. There was a very important question about what should the NDA do to improve the management of performance information. And it's all about having a system. And when we say you must have a system, it doesn't mean it necessarily have to be a computerized system. It can also be a manual system. But what is important is that you need to have controls and preventative controls and even detective controls in those systems. So in other words, if we look at the program that we have findings on, the key findings is that the information to substantiate those actual achievements, number of CSOs, was not readily available for the audit process. So that means that management must put a process in place to throughout the year, month by month, make sure that the information is collated, make sure that someone verifies that information with the performance information, make sure it's adequately filed. Very important is internal audit got a role to play. Internal audit knows it's a risk area, so internal audit should focus on it throughout the year. Do the necessary audit to work on it to determine whether the information is there, whether it agrees with the performance information. And then, of course, from a board and CEO point of view, there should be an oversight exercise on a regular basis to ensure that information is accurate. So those are the things that should be ideally in place. There was a question about the 350 SRD 350 grants and the food parcels. Chairperson, what I would like to suggest is that we've already tabled what we call Special Report 1, and we've actually got a presentation that we can take the members through, and then very soon we will be tabling Special Report 2. My suggestion would be that we arrange for a briefing session like this, where we then brief the committee on both the reports and take you in a bit more detail through those findings, because that would also assist the committee in focusing on the key areas.
What do you call that?
We call them special reports, special report 1 and special report 2. So special report 1 has been tabled. Special report 2 we're going to table soon. Then there was a question about our additional powers and how could we use it, for instance, to with regard to the NDA. So the important thing is to note that our powers can only be utilized. First of all, the entity must be on the list of entities that we have scoped in. So currently, the NDA is not on that list of entities. And secondly, once the NDA or any other entity is scoped in, our key focus is then on, was there a loss? Does a non-compliance result in a loss? So in many cases, the non-compliance does not result in a loss. So once they are scoped in, what we will do is, like with other entities like us scoped in, immediately when we find a non-compliance in the supply chain environment, for instance, we will then do additional procedures to determine whether there was indeed a financial loss or not. If there was a financial loss, then our additional powers will be utilized, and we will go through the whole process of material irregularities. There was a specific question about supply chain management and what can be done to improve supply chain management. So I think one should never forget the importance of training. The supply chain management environment, it is a difficult environment. There's a lot of prescripts. So training is very important. Proper policies and procedures is very important. Proper planning is very important, because sometimes what happens is that entities do not plan ahead. And then you end up in a situation where a lease of a building has expired or is about to expire, and you have not yet put the process in place to go out on tender for a new building. Or in the case of buildings, you might not always want to have to move, that you follow the necessary processes to get treasury approval to stay longer in the building or to extend the contract. So proper planning is very important. But then also the importance of consequence management. And that is why it's important that whenever there's illegal expenditure, there should be an investigation, and it should be determined whether anyone should be held accountable. And that process is also being highlighted in the presentation, that in some cases, some of the entities do not do adequate consequence management. Chairperson, I would for now leave it there, and then just ask my colleagues if there's one or two things that they want to specifically highlight. Thank you.
Any additional colleagues?
Thank you, Chair. It's Faisal here. I think Lawrence covered me on most of my issues. I think there's just one or two with regards to the procurement findings on the food parcel that we've reported in the SASA's audit report. That was specifically on the procurement related on the appointment of those suppliers. These suppliers were already appointed in the previous financial year, and the process of getting them reappointed and that extension, there was weaknesses that were identified in that they had enough time to go through a new process of appointing suppliers, but because they delayed in the number and not fulfilling their duties in terms of getting new suppliers on board, they went for extension, and that was regards to poor planning, and therefore we reported that they could have done the process in a much quicker time and went out in the proper tender process to get all these suppliers on board. I think that was the one issue that I wanted to solve there. Yes, I agree with it. That consequence management is an issue and it should be dealt with in more detail. Where until there's no actions been taken, we're going to continuously seeing all these issues that keep on occurring on a regular basis. The other issue with regards to the medical doctors, yes, what has happened that SASA went through a process of appointing medical doctors, either when the amounts were going to be above 100, they went out on a tender process. We picked up in certain provinces, they should have went out on a tender process to appoint these doctors. There should be a process in place. Even if you, the staff, they may have reflected them, but that process was not followed in the 1920 financial year, especially I think it was in the Gauteng and another region where they should have went out on the tender process, the amounts were above, and they should have followed the normal supply chain management. So that's the main reason for the medical doctors not being the staff there. Because had it been under 500,000, the quotation process would have been fine, but the amount spent to certain of these doctors were quite a huge amount, and then your normal supply chain management process should have been followed. The damages to the vehicles, that were one of the cases, yeah, those are mostly accident-related, negligence on that side, and the losses that were there suffered in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Yep. Kumnandi Dabunje. Lindiwe.
Chairperson?
Special Report 1, Special Report 2. You'll have to liaise with AG on that. To the content advisors, is Yoli here?
Yes, I found it.
If you look at this report, the way it is written, in each area where there's a rating, there's a narrative. I'm sure you must have seen that.
Yes.
There's a narrative behind each rating. If it's a senior management problem, if it's an what do they call it, assurance providers, internal controls, if it's in the area of irregular expenditure, fruitless expenditure, if it's in the performance information compliance with the legislature or fair presentation, everywhere there's a narrative. What you need is to collate a report that Lindy will attach to her writing to the department so that they present their side of the story on these matters. Am I understood?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Otherwise, I think this portfolio committee is not sleeping at work. And I'm happy to be part of such committee. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. I agree with honorable members, in particular the entities. But the biggest challenge is what Honorable Van der Merwe is saying, is that it's one thing for DST to be a clean audit. DST, for oversight purposes, monitoring evaluation, they are ultimately responsible for the proper running of NDA and what you call NSASA. So, and that matter needs to be clear to them. Having said all that, AG, as usual, thank you very much for your cooperation and sharing with us such an important information, and which continues to be a fruitful interaction with you at all material times. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much. The next point we have to remember is minutes. Which date, Lindwe?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's 14, 21, and 28th of October.
14?
Yes, Chair.
14th of October?
Yes, Chair.
Tell me the date, which date?
21 of October.
Yes.
And the last one is 28th of October, Chair.
I heard you saying something about 14.
It's 14 October, Chair. The first one.
14 October, that's number one.
Yes, Chair.
Number two?
21 October, Chairperson.
Number three?
28th of October, Chairperson.
Yep. Is that all?
Yes, Chair.
They have been circulated to the members as far as I can see.
Did you?
Yes, Chair.
Honorable members, 14, 21, 28, those minutes are in front of you. On the 14th of October, honorable members, I see your hand, Honorable Fanamera.
Yes, Jay, I will move for the adoption of this set of minutes.
Any seconder for the 14th of October?
Chairperson, it's Alexandria. I just want to ask a question before I second. In the minutes of the 14th of October, it makes reference to that the department was going to send us a database for substance abuse treatment centres. I just want to maybe check with Lindy if the department sent that. And then furthermore, Chairperson, how do we then follow up with the department that the steps that we asked for in the minutes, that they actually take place? Because similarly, in the minutes of the 21st of October, there's a request that the department engage the leader of government business with regards to social workers. So I don't know.
That is what we call, Honorable Abrams, matters arising, but it doesn't change the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your seconding on that basis. We will follow the issues that you have raised, though. 21st October, honorable members.
I move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable Abrams. Second, honorable Mtaung, am I right?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you.
I second, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable Mtaung.
Chairperson.
Yes, Bilangulu.
While we're still there, I see the officials attended the meeting on that date in Limpopo. I think the name written there as the head of the department wasn't the person who attended the meeting.
Can we correct that?
Yes.
So if they are adopted as amended, thank you very much. 28th October, honorable members.
I will move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Thank you. That is honorable.
I second Chairperson Mvana.
Yes. Honorable
Mvana.
And honorable Mvana. Second it.
Honorable Mvana, any seconder?
Chair, I move for the adoption and
honorable
Mvana
was
seconding. And Mvana so, second. Chair? Chairperson?
Who's real, Chair?
Chairperson?
Let me try to
The person is listening. Who is calling so strong?
It's Mvana who seconds the minutes of the 28th.
Oh, accepted that.
Where were you?
I'm back now. Okay. So all the minutes are adopted, honorable members. Lindwe, is there any additional issue?
Yes, Chairperson, is just the feedback on the planned oversight to KZN regarding our application.
Oh, by the way, honorable members, it appears that our well-intended oversight, which we enthusiastically wanted to embark on, can't go on because it appears that for
ulahlekile ngoku. Come back. Chairperson.
We need to find time at the beginning of next year. Honorable members, that's an announcement. Have we heard that?
Sorry, yes?
We could not hear you. We could not hear you, Chair.
I'm saying, honorable members, remember we had intended to do an oversight in KZN. 27, whatever, till some dates. Now it appears that it ended up clashing with the parliamentary settings. So when it is like that, it is not allowed. Now, I'm saying maybe we'll have to make sure that we secure the immediate available space in the next calendar year.
We understand, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Agreed, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, I need to say thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you for everything, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. I'm going to end the meeting for everyone.